Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and Facebook and YouTube Live. Pete Gray here along with Corey Sandin. What a great show with Tim and Merrily Ekstrom, Royal Star, and Fisherman's Processing, along with Executive Chef Catherine Lewis from Fisherman's Processing. Of course, the smiling face when you walk into Fisherman's Processing. You see her all the time at Fisherman's Processing. Having a great time talking fishing and more. They're biting and a lot to talk about here, Corey, right?
Having so much fun. I mean, just not only talking fishing and all the good, like Aliar calling in with the good bluefin fishing.
Great.
And Tim talking about their 8-day they're going to start off with after boat work and just the good times there. But we get to talk about cooking the fish too, and having Catherine in the house and a part of the Fisherman's Processing crew. She's definitely a bundle of joy and nice to have in the world headquarters, Pete. But we're giving away a overnight trip out of Fisherman's Landing to anybody who calls in the first hour or sends a text. There was a lot of texts the first hour too, but anybody that texts the show the second hour, we're going to have Catherine, an overnight trip. We're going to have Catherine flip the coin at the end of the show and figure out whether a lucky trip is going to a caller or texter, and we're just having a good time.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of good texts. Did you have a good one, huh?
I do, yeah. There's been a bunch of them coming in for sure. And this one comes from Paul in Fountain Valley, and Paul says, Pete, Corey, Tim, Mary Lee, Catherine, long-time listener, great show as usual. I love talking about and listening about cooking fish. Quick question for Catherine. Are there plans to publish or post recipes and advice?
Oh.
How about that, Pete? I mean, didn't Wayne Wayne was asking for some good information? Or
yes, I'm excited to share some recipes. I plan on sharing some with you guys after the show so that you guys can have some for Let's Talk Hookup. And
fantastic.
We do have recipes that we have on cards at the shop. And I'm a free advice kind of person. I can't stop talking about fishing and cooking when people come in. So if you caught a fish and you're there in the lobby and you want to talk fish,
you're there.
I'm there to give you advice, yeah.
And we're so fortunate as anglers, and not only on the Royal Star, but all of our boats, to have that harvest, and whether it's yellowtail or snapper, that local yellowtail recently is some of...
It's delicious.
I could almost put it up there with the Guadalupe-esque.
Yeah, the spring fish. Cold water yellowtail, I think,
incredible.
Is you know, super high fat content. It's traditionally the best. You almost took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to make that point. I mean, this is such a great example of number one, the evolution of this fishery, but just the fact that there's such an emphasis placed on this beautiful harvest, this beautiful product. It's not just about going out there and catching the fish. As much of the experience, if not the biggest part of the experience, is the opportunity to go out there and harvest these incredible fish that you know, the vast majority of people don't have access to, and the grade of the fish, the quality is just, you know, beyond belief. And go take a walk. Let's go down to Tunaville down here to the right, or go down to John's place down there to the left.
Tim, it's the freshest thing in town, right?
It is. It absolutely is.
But what they're bringing in on these boats doesn't even compare.
Well, I mean, you know, it depends. I mean, there's some really good fresh product available, but what I was going to emphasize is the cost of this fish now. I mean,
so expensive.
I looked at we were at Blue Water, wasn't too long ago, over in Ocean Beach, and fresh yellowtail, local caught, $28.95 a pound. $28.95 for yellowtail. $32.95 a pound for that bluefin when it was fresh.
Oh, right.
Yeah, $38 a pound.
Fish is expensive.
Just unbelievable how you factor that in to the value of one of these trips. You know, I mean, talk about a value added. It's amazing. You go out on a, let's say you're out on a local trip, day and a half trip. You come back with 250 or 60 pound bluefin. You know,
that's
That's going to yield you. I mean, the yield is roughly 50%. You know, 45, 50 depends on the species of fish. 40% of just like premium, beautiful, whatever. That's 80 pounds. 50 pounds of bluefin? I mean, calculate that out, man. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out that you're actually returning with more value in product than you actually paid for to go on the trip.
You're on us.
Yeah, it's amazing. So anyway, I mean, this is just such a great example of the whole, you know, again, the evolution of it, where we go out and harvest this fish, and now we're set up to where anglers have the opportunity to, A, have their fish processed and return it in this beautiful condition.
Right.
And then focusing on the actual, you know, the final product on the table.
Right.
You know?
For sure. Well, hey, let's find out. Fishdope.com report from Captain Mark Wish at Pacific Edge. And report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your fish processing for your long-range trip. And with more team members like Catherine and more, you're going to get a lot more value for your dollar at Fisherman's Processing. That is for sure. They're so far ahead of everybody else. It's unbelievable. Best customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com. Make sure to make your reservations either by fishermansprocessing.com or calling Catherine in the office and getting that done. Good morning, Captain Mark.
Well, good morning, Pete and Corey, Tim, Merrily, Catherine. Man, you got the all-star crew in there, Pete. What a fantastic show it's been this morning.
Yeah. Thanks,
it's so much good info there, but so, guys, with rockfish season now open, we're going to see much better coverage in all the areas, thank goodness. And as can be expected this time of year, weather on the outside can be an issue for the private boaters. We got a little window right now, but looks to be rugged again kind of by midweek, so probably ought to get your licks in now while we can. On the outside, both San Nicolas and Santa Barbara Island did get checked. No shortage of bottom grabbers, as you might expect. Lots of reds and lings and sheephead and all that bottom junk. And a few halibut have been captured out there on the sand spit at Nick, not too much. No squid out that way. There's been a bit of sea bass and yellows from Santa Barbara Island. You know, squid at Santa Barbara, it's been there. But right now, with it being full moon and just a relentless steel problem, it's really tough to make it. Been on the front side there, outside the anchorage. Or at Catalina, we're getting kind of into the springtime mode here. You know, the kelpline critters are waking up. Water's been pretty decent all winter and definitely staying that way. Conditions are good and lots of rockfish biting out there in the deeper water, of course. You know, those spots have been resting for 3 months, so they are just loaded up. But like SBI, squid's difficult. There's not too much volume there and way too many seals. And with full moon, you know, it just makes it tough. You know, the bitter area has been backside east. And right now with the moon the way it is, it's best if you get set up right before sundown, actually, because a lot of times sun's going down, moon's coming up. You got a little window there when that squid works better at this time of the moon. So we'll see how that goes there. Yellows and sea bass still slow. It's just off to kind of a weird start over there. So we'll kind of have to wait and see what happens. A little better halibut fishing here this week. Beaches, you know, 15, 20 feet of water out to about 50 on the edge of hard bottoms, been pretty good. And some bigger fish have moved in, you know, it was slow for a little bit, but seems to be a little better now. Or at Clemente, again, rockfish opened up and we got more coverage and as expected, no shortage of cods, plenty of that out there. But very little signal on surface fish that, you know, it should be soon though, but there's a few dabs of squid in the cove. There's a little bit middle of the back, but with the water conditions the way they are, water 64, 65 like that, it should be soon coming. So we're just going to have to stand by, and conditions are definitely straightened out. It's springtime, and maybe next week we're going to have the wide-open yellowtail report in San Clemente Island.
Okay.
Not yet.
I like hearing that. Yeah.
I like
course,
that thing.
Fishdope.com. Danny and the boys are keeping everybody on top of all that's going on there. Fishdope.com, and your $30 code is hookup now. New for a new account, Hookup Now, $30 off a new membership. And Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. And the phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And I hope everybody has a happy Easter, and we'll be talking to you guys next week.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Great job. Appreciate that, and we'll talk to you. Happy Easter to you, and talk to you next Saturday. Appreciate that very much. And that
we'll
wraps
see you
up
guys.
Our catch report for sure. And one thing I want to, before we move into the next text, I want to talk about the store at Fisherman's Processing and the olive oil that you're selling,
yeah.
which is just amazing.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I thought you and Molly would like it. So we partnered up with the...
I got to mention this before.
Okay.
My wife is like the ultimate snob when it comes to anything in her kitchen. And she buys really expensive Napa Valley olive oil from a company. And that's very, very good olive oil. My personal feeling, I liked yours better.
Oh.
Don't tell her.
I hope she's not listening.
Yeah. I think you just did. Yeah. But I would, you know, we really wanted something to complement how specialized we are as a company, and we found this olive farm up in San Miguel, California. It's a husband and wife team, Boca Bella Farms, and we brought in their extra virgin olive oil. They also have a Meyer lemon one that we have in there. That's incredible. Catherine made a salad dressing with it and thought it was so good. We just honestly were like dipping it with sourdough bread, and it's just incredible. So I'm so happy you and Molly liked it. Yeah.
So that's available now in this
It is. It's online. If you want to get it, we can ship it out to you, or you can just come by and see us and grab that and some spices or –
All your spices and rubs and olive oils and everything is available on your store online?
Yes, it is. Yeah. You just click on the shop button instead of reservations.
Yeah, we'll ship it to you.
And you'll ship it, okay. What's your favorite product in the store, Catherine?
That's a good question. I'm going to say it's probably going to be our Poke Mix.
The Poke Mix.
Yeah. I don't typically use the sauce. I like to make my own sauce, but the Poke Mix has some spicy, it has the sesame seeds, it's got a little lime flavor, and I like to make a poke bowl and just sprinkle that on top for a little extra flavor and crunch, and it's delicious.
What's your recipe for a poke bowl?
Poke bowl. I'm definitely going to make some sushi rice, and then I'm going to cube up the bluefin if I have it, yellowfin if I don't, and then I just will toss that with some soy sauce, a little bit of rice wine vinegar, a little bit of honey in there. And then I'm going to put that mixed up on top. And I like to put mango, cucumber,
avocado,
serrano. And then I like to make a sriracha aioli and just drizzle that on top. And it's delicious. Yeah.
Sounds so amazing.
Yeah, that sounds
and we
amazing.
Have those finishing salts now that we brought in that are pretty incredible. Like if people love heat, we've got like venom. Finishing salt. It's crazy.
Wow,
it's like it has a warning on it.
It's spicy.
Ghost,
delicious.
We've got ghost pepper. We've got habanero. We've got just sriracha to the whole point, too. Just it gives that little finishing salt on the top. It makes it a great compliment.
So when you go pick up your fish at Fisherman's Processing, don't overlook the store. It's well worth checking out all.
I know it's hard to see Catherine's beautiful face and Rachel and Jordan, and you're like, oh wait, I didn't see it. Yeah.
Don't miss all that shelf behind Catherine.
And we'll give you advice based off of your catch at what we have in the store. What would be best with it?
Yeah. Hey, Max from the Pacific Voyager out of C4 Sport Fishing wanted to mention that he has a 3-day trip that's leaving on Tuesday, the 7th. They need 7 more reservations to go, and the bluefin fit are biting, so get on it. So I would say check out PacificVoyager.com or call C4 Sport Fishing and make
Max is a great guy.
Max is a great guy.
He's doing
what an amazing young kid he is, huh?
He's a fishing fool.
Yeah, he's a very fishy guy.
Yes, he is.
You know when Frank puts somebody into an operation, you know he's a fishy guy.
Yeah,
fishy guy.
He's a good kid, good man, hard worker, great fisherman. Certainly the next generation, the next wave.
Yeah.
He and Duke get along good. They're the perfect team out there.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, leaves Tuesday. It's a 3-day trip. They need 7 more people to make it a go. So call C4 Sport Fishing and jump on the Pacific Voyager with Max, and I'll bet you go catch something with them for sure. They'll bring it to Fisherman's Processing. Definitely. You have a great text, though, Corey.
I do, Pete. Yeah, there's so many good ones coming in and so many culinary directions toward Catherine. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Love the show. I have a question about something I've been thinking about trying with yellowtail. Have any of you ever looked into or tried making lox with it? And my wife loves lox and bagels and would love to try to make some myself out of some local caught fish. Thanks. And that comes from Rory in Lakeside.
I could imagine that you could do it.
I could see it working.
Yeah, but there's not as much. What makes like the lox with salmon work so well is the fat content.
The fattiness.
Yeah, so it'll work. I would just say be careful on how long you cure it in that salt so that you don't lose the moisture from it.
And so what would the process be? And you're better off with like the slab of yellowtail, like a 15-pounder and that whole fillet. Would you use the whole skin on?
Yeah, you can leave the skin on, and then you're just going to cure it in the salt for a couple of hours. I wouldn't know how long that would take because I've not done it with yellowtail.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll see it firm up. You'll be able to touch it and see that it's cured all the way.
I could see it working, though.
I could see it working.
Especially with, like Tim said, the springtime yellowtail, having a fat content to it. And we just had some the last couple of days off of San Diego, and let me tell you, it's
good stuff.
It's some of the best I've had.
The piece that's the belly piece, that would be the one. You know, you know what I'm talking about on yellowtail?
Right, exactly.
Where you remove the ribs and that one slab there that's just laden with fat, that would be the one to give it a try with.
Yeah. Interesting.
And a lot of these fish that they're catching at the Coronado Islands are big fish, right?
They're... I mean, there's beautiful fish coming in right now. And I would say on the yellowtail, no offense to the lox, don't forget to get your collars because your yield goes up. And that yellowtail collar meat is, I mean, it is delicious.
So good.
Yeah.
Yellowtail collar is
I just don't get it. If you caught a yellowtail, it's worth it. Get every collar that you can.
Mm-hmm. And just put it on the barbecue, right?
Put it in the oven and roast it.
In the oven and roast it. And then just pick it off with a fork or chopsticks.
Yeah, chopsticks. Yeah.
No, they're...
Oh.
We just did that at the Tucson's house.
Tim was just talking about fatty meat is all around the collar, right?
Yeah. It takes a little more work, but it's well worth it.
It's delicious. I mean,
Man, get that... Anyway.
How... right? You have me there.
Yeah. I know, exactly.
If somebody's on their private skiff and they don't have time to get it to fishermen and they're cutting their own yellowtail... What's the best way to remove that collar, really?
You know, if I tell you, I have to kill you, Pete.
Okay.
Trade secrets.
Trade secrets.
They don't trust me with the knives. We have to ask George Raymond. Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that.
Those guys, they make it look so easy, you know. Even
I know.
You go in there on the line.
It's not an easy thing to take off.
No, it
is definitely the extra work. And it's very bony by nature, so it's really hard to, like, on the certain vacuum sealing bags.
And how much you guys charge to take a collar off?
It's $5.
That's
just an additional $5. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's
so
worth it.
And that's packaged and everything.
Yep.
You vacuum pack it.
Yep.
Wow.
I will tell you, one little element is that they don't just use a knife. They use those heavy-duty clippers.
Yeah, we've got
it. They just clip it out. It's way, way faster, way more efficient, and it's cleaner. With a knife, you can do it with a knife, obviously, but, you know, it's bony, and you got to hit just the right spot, whereas a clipper, you can snip right through that.
You know, the whole yellowtail and local stuff, Tim, brings back memories as a kid and fishing on the full-day trips or at that time. The Japanese would stand by and collect every collar. That guy would take home a 30-pound bag of collars, and us Caucasians were lost in the mix.
Yeah.
we had no idea.
Right?
The guys on the board, they'd be flaying, they'd be just hand them, rather than throw them, hand them down the line, they'd be back there cutting the collar out.
Like what we know now, I think I would have paid that money for the ticket just to stand by the fillet board.
Well, it's interesting. We have so many customers, too, that they want their fish heads. Like, we just, like, our freezer will be lined up with the fish heads that are going back to the neighbors. We have... You know, pet owners that want the bloodline for their so we'll separate and do the bloodline for them. It's really your fish. We wanna get it ready for you and how you're gonna be able to use it.
Yeah, the byproduct is great for gardening as well.
Yes.
Oh, throw it in your garden.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you'll save it for it.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Ted in San Diego says, "Wow, what a great show today, Merrily, Tim, and Catherine. It's quite the trifecta." Picked up a beautifully processed fish a week ago from our limit trip on the Polaris Supreme. Catherine, any chance you can add a recipe section to the Fisherman's Processing website? Cannot write fast enough while listening this morning.
I would love to. It's something that I've been having in the back of my pocket, something I want to work on. I get asked all the time. So we're also being a little more active on our Instagram currently. So hopefully shortly I'll be able to start putting some recipes on there as well.
Wow, cool.
That's a good one for sure. Yeah, I have actually a good text as well, Pete, in it. Good morning, guys. Great show. My question is for Chef Catherine. Another one
popular
for,
today,
right? It's awesome, right? It is. And regarding yellowtail ceviche, how long should the fish marinate in the lime juice, and how big should the cubes of the fish be? And it comes from Chris and Scripps Ranch.
It's a good question. So for me, I just will keep it down to like little quarter cubes, like quarter inch cubes, and then. You're going to want to make sure you have a lot of lime juice on there, toss it in there, put it back in the refrigerator. But it's going to take about 2 hours. I like to drain that original lime juice off of the fish and then put fresh lime juice on there right before I eat it. I just like it really tangy. But you can continue to eat it in the original lime juice if you want to. But I'd say at least 2 hours until the fish turns opaque.
Okay. Good stuff.
Good one.
Hey, Kalani in Southeast San Diego wants to know they want to bring their fish from their skiff, and they want to know about parking at when they're towing their skiff and they want to drop their fish off.
We just had that happen. Honestly, you can pull up right in front of the shop. We have a 3-minute zone there, and it's so funny. That's what Gerard did. Our mailman does the same thing. You just pull your truck up. Your skiff will be right by the front door,
and
you
block the
out.
Driveway, but it'll only be for a couple minutes.
No, anyway. You don't even block that.
No?
I mean, it depends on how big their boat is.
Yeah.
Depends on how big their boat is, but you can just pull up
right
in the front.
There.
Yep. Okay. And go from there.
Yeah, we'll come weigh up your fish right there on the sidewalk.
Right there,
which is super convenient because the parking right there at the driveway would only be about 6 parking spots from the back door, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking. Is that about right?
Yeah, that three-minute zone accommodates 2 cars, like 2 trucks my size. So if you pull all the way forward in your truck to where you're almost, you know, you're even with the driveway, you're going to have plenty of room for a 25-footer will fit. It might be tailing into the red a little bit, but, again, 3 minutes, you're fine.
It's such an convenient spot, too, Fisherman's Processing. I mean, if you're from out of town, it's right at the intersection of the 8 and the 5.
Yeah.
And it's just, I drove by there yesterday. We were going to Fiesta Island taking the dogs. And it's just, the building looks so awesome.
And
fish on the side. And it's super sharp looking.
And we're 7 minutes from the airport if you get every light. So we always joke we're about 10 minutes, to get down there. So from a convenience for our anglers as they're getting their fish, getting back to the airport, doing whatever they can do from a pickup, you can hop on the 8, the 5, get down to the airport. It's really convenient.
It's
one other thought, too, for private boaters. Okay, you're usually closed at about 2-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we get back later than that. What I'll do is I'll keep it in the white bag or whatever your fish thing, and then take it the next morning and drop your bag. Just drop your bag off.
Just whole fish. If you gill and gut it, it makes it that much better. But keep whole fish on ice. You can put it in a kill bag. We actually are partners with Deckhand Sports. Their kill bags are amazing. They don't leak. They're phenomenal. We just sold one yesterday to a guy who's going up to get salmon in Northern California.
Oh, okay.
But keep it on ice in your cooler overnight. Bring it to us. You can call us, leave us a message. We get there at 7 just to get the shop ready to go through, and we have no problem having an appointment early the next morning. Or if you call us ahead, just like we did for Mr. Gerard, we'll be happy to stay for you if we have the right notice. But if not, just keep it on ice. Let us know. If you've got it on your skiff down here, like with you, Pete, we're down here every morning when the boats are coming in anyway.
Right.
Just let us know, and you can meet us at the top of the dock, too.
Yeah, that works, especially during the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works great. Yeah, and just bring it in, drop it off.
Bring it in,
right,
we'll
here.
Weigh it up, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I actually have another good text here, Pete, and it's a follow-up from Rory from Lakeside wondering about the locks. And this one comes from Ryan. I know, it's kind of fun. Everybody's chiming in this morning.
I love it.
And that's what's cool about the Let's Talk Hookup app and the text-to-show thing is it comes directly to Pete and I, and we can read them on air. And this one comes from John in Upland, and he says, hi, guys. Carpaccio would be the closest for yellowtail locks. And there you go, Rory. And a little bit of carpaccio is delicious.
Cool. Hey, Catherine, you're bringing out a lot of lady texts today. To text. And here's another one from Kathy in Placentia. And she writes, love your show. It was great to see you at the Del Mar show, too. Recently bought a whole snapper. What would be your suggested method? What spices work best on a whole snapper? I love whole snapper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like whole vermilion rockfish.
There's nothing better.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, snapper's such a great fish. Yeah. It has, like, a nice sweetness to the meat. Honestly, I would just do a nice olive oil, a little salt, fresh cracked black pepper. If you want to get a little spicy, possibly add some ground-up red pepper flakes, and I would roast that fish whole with the skin.
Or like we did with that
Snapper.
The snapper, we actually did it with a bunch of vegetables like onions and tomatoes and put it in parchment paper and then baked it. It was pretty. It just was like melt in your mouth.
What temperature are you baking?
I would roast it at least 350, and then you're looking for that magic number of 145. If you cook it much after that, you're going to have a dry fish. So.
Okay. Very good.
Remember when you're cooking fish, like you actually take it off much earlier. Because it just keeps cooking itself.
So you were saying take it off at 140. Yeah. It's like maybe at 135. I mean,
you could do that too. Yeah. It depends on. So if you were roasting it at a really high temperature and the fish is already really hot, like it's going to continue to rise up in temperature a lot faster. If you were baking it at a lower number at like 350, it's going to have less time to continue to heat up. So.
And that's true whether you're putting it on the barbecue or you're cooking it in the oven, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. When you say roasting, baking, same thing?
For the most part, it's more of like the temperatures. Roasting is going to be a higher temperature.
Higher temperature. Okay. All right.
I know I'm learning a lot here, Pete. You know what I've been missing in my culinary game, though, is the thermometer. Like, that's...
Yeah.
The digital thermometer. It was...
I gave it to him for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Life-changing.
Now, was that by hint or was that by...
No, I said I wanted one.
Okay.
Just watching the guys. Because they use it at the shop for the smoked fish. And you know, why is a smoked fish always perfect at Fisherman's Process? Always. I mean, I don't know if you guys have tried the smoked product there. It is
so good.
It is out of this world delicious. Between the recipe, you know, George's famous recipe going back 30 years plus. But, you know, the cook on smoked fish, it's delicate. It can do the same thing. You can overcook it and it gets dry and weird. It's always perfect. And that's why. The digital thermometer, they, you know, obviously babysit it, you know, studiously. But it's... The digital thermometer is the key.
What digital thermometer are you selling at Fisherman's Process?
A good one.
A good one. That's what I'm saying. Don't buy a cheap one, right? Buy a good one.
Well, you know what? I don't want to mislead anybody. Like, ours is only $22. That's at the shop. It's very reasonable.
Very affordable.
And you could get on Amazon and get a good digital thermometer very affordably.
But you want one with the probe and the separate unit, right? Versus the one that you just...
Oh, no. In. You can, like the one I got, Tim, it just unfolds and it's got digital on the handle and poke it through.
One with the probe is going to be good for, you know, if you're on your grill, then you don't have to keep opening the lid, which would mess with your cooking and everything.
Your overall temp and constant temp.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much, Pete. I'm loving this, man.
What's going on? Hey, a great text here from our good friend Jeff from Sushi on a Roll.
Jeff!
He says, good morning, everyone. Great show to the A-team. RSW has been a game changer with quality and the color. Definitely Royal Star has amazing fish quality. Tell us more about your RSW. And he says, happy Easter to everyone.
Hi, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
The cornerstone again of this, you know, the quality of the product, and this began back in 2004 when we introduced this system. But maintaining a consistent temp, 30 degrees is generally we hold it out, and we fill our tanks full all the way to the top, fill them, press them. So when you put the hatch on, there's zero free surface in that tank. The fish doesn't bang.
There's no slosh.
There's no slosh.
Yeah,
and. The main thing is maintaining that consistent temperature, and seawater doesn't freeze until 28 because of the salinity. So we hold it at roughly 30 degrees, 31 degrees. It never varies. And, you know, again, what I mentioned earlier, getting that fish down fast. Like, you want that fish cooling pronto. You don't want to stack it. You know, back in the old days, and I know some other guys do it, whatever, it's still fine. But we find... You know, where everybody would pile the fish in the fish box and wait till the fish box is full,
you're five layers in and they're cooking themselves.
You're five layers in, exactly. And, you know, maybe it's slow fishing, and maybe you got a crew that's not, you know, Johnny on the spot, whatever. Fish has been sitting in there for half an hour, you know, baking itself, getting compressed. we don't even use that fish box. We keep them laid flat on the deck, and as soon as someone has a minute or we make a minute, we get that fish dressed and you know, bled out, of course, immediately, and in that 30-degree seawater, and it makes all the difference in the world. And then, again, maintaining that temperature throughout the trip, you know, whether it's a 3-day, a 7-day, 10-day, whatever. Like the temperature doesn't go up to 34 because it cycles on a thermostat or because you put a whole bunch of fish down there. We maintain that consistent temperature. And
you're by constantly monitoring, that's how you do it.
We check it every hour. That's our standard procedure. And we'll check it more if we put in, you know, a whole big slug of fish or, sure, you know, whatever we just fired up the refrigeration, whatever calls for it. But, yeah, that just, you know, monitoring is the key. And we're so dedicated to that. I mean, now it's like it's like the thaw in the fish. You know, now that I know that, like, I'll never do it any other way. It's the same thing with the product on the boat. Once we learned that we could produce that kind of quality, and then we've added all these different techniques over the years to enhance it or make it that much better or to streamline the process. Now that we do that, we can't do it any other way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you can produce that A++ premium quality. Why would you do it any different?
Why can't you?
It's like, I can't just ethically, you know, I'm.
Well, I know you eat the fish off the boat.
Oh, yeah.
And you eat the fish off the boat.
It's the only boat.
That's why, right?
Yeah, it's the only boat that I eat fish off of.
You can see the difference when you cut into the fish if it's been in RSW or not. It's a clear difference in the firmness of the meat and the color.
And do you see a lot of boats bringing fish in?
Yes.
Can you tell the quality from different boats?
Absolutely. And we can tell when they had a big bite and like the crew got overwhelmed, because exactly that'll happen. They'll stack the fish on top of each other. And then we always just believe in communicating with our customers. There are times that'll happen and the fish is still edible, but the loin might have a little looseness to it. And so we'll take a picture of that and send them, or if there was a gaff that hit, you know, just so heartbreaking. Sometimes the crew will gaff it right on the back and it's like that best sushi cut. We're so sorry. It's going to be like a little smaller because there's a gaff mark in there.
Take the gaff mark out.
I actually had a friend that was on a unmentioned name boat, and you had called them and warned them exactly that, like the strata are coming apart, and we're just letting you know that it's not our handling, that just to be aware that we're going to put those in a separate bag for you. And
like, we don't break the fish.
Exactly, right. No, you take the best care, and you can only work with what you're given, right?
Exactly.
The last key to our process on Royal Star, we don't use salt. We don't add salt to it.
It's just straight seawater.
Straight seawater. Yeah, we don't add salt, and that's specific to our system, the way we have our refrigeration system. Nobody else in the fleet does it like we do, for that exact reason. We don't use salt. So
it's not brine frozen.
It's not. When you add salt to the system, which most of our colleagues do, it's not that it's wrong or it's bad, or, you know, there's a fine line between going too far and freezing your fish, because if you get it below 28 and it actually freezes and starts honeycombing, crystallizing, that's almost as bad as keeping it too hot.
Yep.
Because it breaks down the you know, at a molecular level, it changes the meat. So it's a really fine line. And by never adding salt, number one, the fish doesn't absorb any. Because anything you add salt, it absorbs it. It's going to. And you can tell in the color of the fish. But without any salt, we can't freeze it. You know, we can't go below that line where it starts breaking it down. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's just one of the
very interesting. Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the unique features of that we offer. It's probably the, you know, if it's not the number one, it's the number two reason why our fish is consistently as good as it can possibly be, and why there's such a difference between Royal Star product and what everybody else.
Incredible stuff, Tim, man. The pioneer of the RSW.
We tried to be.
Right? Hey, we're going to be right back. More culinary with Catherine and Mary Lee from Fisherman's Processing. Right?
I love it.
People are going to.
You're a queen.
You're a favorite on the show for sure, Catherine. We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk Cook Up YouTube and Facebook Live.
fluorocarbon, Seaguar has you covered. Gold Label is Seaguar's thinnest and strongest leader yet and is your best choice on leader-shy fish. Fluoro Premier has a thin diameter with the highest break strength. Plus, it is super soft. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. Pink Label is the choice for tough, light conditions from 2 pound to 400 pound. Pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com.
Introducing new PowerPro Max 8 Microfilament Braided Fishing Line. It's built for offshore anglers seeking smooth casting and control. PowerPro Max 8 features an 8-carrier Spectra HT construction that cuts through current with ease for precise vertical jigging with a 25% thinner diameter. Available in white and metered, 4-color for trolling spread control and precise jigging depths. It's stronger, smoother, and thinner. PowerPro Max 8 is now available at your tackle retailer.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano, and I know you use a lot of Shimano products on the Royal Stock.
Absolutely.
Talica, right?
Talica, it's my favorite, hands down, and, you know, I've said it before, I don't get anything back from Shimano. We just want to see our anglers outfitted with gear that's top of the line and works, and Shimano is absolutely, hands down, the best gear there is, and you know, it's held up to my 40 years doing this in every way, shape, and form.
Now, the amazing thing is, too, is Talica is certainly the star of the lineup when it comes to long-range fishing.
Right.
And they improved the Talicas with the new Talica A series. How can you improve perfection? But they did, right?
They did, yeah, and there is a difference. If you're, you know, if you use the old Talica and you pick that one up, you can't believe that it could be better, but it is. Yeah, they're smooth as silk. I mean, the amount of torque that those reels generate, it's just unbelievable.
So check it out at your local Shimano dealer, the Talica reels.
Looking for the ultimate Alaska fishing experience and the best value in Alaska? Look no further than Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. A trip to Kingfisher includes everything you need to make your experience legendary. The finest fishing fleet in Sitka with the best captains, deluxe accommodations, gourmet food, world-class fish processing, and the best part, it's all included for one amazing price. Kingfisher is Let's Talk Hookup's most popular destination. Hundreds of listeners have experienced Kingfisher Charters, and most go back again and again. You have probably heard a lot of big promises from other Alaska lodges, only to find there were lots of hidden charges. Not Kingfisher. Everything is included. 10-hour fishing days, your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, and fishing gear. All you bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. Kingfisher Charters, your Alaska fishing destination. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and Pete having so much fun in the world headquarters, just talking good fishing, talking culinary,
too, talking about getting lots of new ideas and stuff like
that. And we're giving away an overnight trip
at Fisherman's Landing, which you can upgrade if you want to a longer trip.
Just talk to Carl,
and they'll do that. And Ed Ventura has an interesting question here. Good morning, Marilee, Catherine, and Tim. What are some of the most unusual requests that you've had at Fisherman's Processing? I'm dying to hear this. Because I know, I mean, people want, you know, the heads, the collars, the
tails.
Tails is a big
really?
One lately, too. Yep. We've got artists that are trying different things with their tails. We've got, any piece of the fish that goes from there. I think, you know, it's not that creative, but one of the challenges is when we have customers, like, we'll do a half-pound pack for people, but just reminding the customer, like, that's twice as many bags, so it's going to take us twice as long to get it. But they think, hey, why isn't my order done? Like, I was in here. It's because it's twice as many.
Yeah.
Like, it double.
Yeah.
And go from there.
So typical. Why would somebody want a half-pound bag?
You know what? They're just a single person, and they just want to eat smaller servings, and they just want to be able to take one.
And you'll do that?
Oh, absolutely. There is an upcharge for it, but, of course, we just want to get you what you want. It's just, you know, apply common sense.
And if
you're cutting it half the size.
And if somebody's not good with a knife and breaking it down, like for me, I'd want a beautiful 2-pound chunk that I can break down into 4 pieces. But if somebody's not that adequate with a knife.
Our most popular is a 1-pound pack, and that'll serve 2 people with probably a little extra on the side. And that's what we look at. But there are some specific customers that request half-pound packs, and no problem, we'll accommodate it. It just takes a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think truly, like, having the bloodline set aside for their animals or the tails or the heads, like, I think last summer Tim walked into the freezer and he's like, what is going on with all the heads? We had, like, a whole row of heads.
Head row.
You can make a great fish head soup with those heads, though.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
Yeah,
They're definitely something you should – it's like the collars. A lot of people don't understand that there's still a lot of good value in most parts of a fish. But some good soup comes out of that head.
Oh, okay.
It is a good opportunity to make the point, too, that while they'll accommodate any custom order, and because that's what we do, it's also simplify things. The more simple your order is, the better the result is going to be. And you know, recognizing that, you know, peak season, say it's a day that five long-range boats are coming in, and there's 20,000 pounds of fish, you know, that came in the door over the last 3 days, and orders are flying in and out. And if there's 15 specific requests for one order that's, you know, 300 pounds of fish, the odds are pretty good that something in that chain is gonna go awry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if you say 1 pound pack. We got it.
We got it.
It just makes it a lot easier. So yeah. I'm just going to throw that out there. Just a little piece of advice.
Yeah. One of the things I've seen you do, and that's do a sushi cut. Explain the sushi cuts.
Do you want to?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people think that the sushi cut means that we're going to have it already cut down to the little pieces of sushi for you. What it really means is that we're going to identify the top two loins, the centerpiece of that. So if you have a big fish, your sushi cut might be a big 4 pound piece. If it's a smaller fish, you might get a little teeny one. But it's that top center loin. It's what most restaurants would use to make sushi or the poke bowl. It's just the best part of a tuna, in my opinion. But it is going to be a big triangle. You're not, a lot of people also think when we say sushi cuts that we mean the saku blocks. And the saku block is still that same piece of fish with the top part cut down into smaller little rectangles. And we'd be happy to do that for you, too, if that's what you had in your mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll cut.
But just remember, it's the top. So if you take the top loin, think about quartering a tuna and went through. It's the center portion of that back loin.
Okay.
But every single filet that comes out, you can make sushi out of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We give you a table-ready
so
product.
That sushi cut or that top loin, how – generally speaking, let's say on a 70-pound tuna, how big is that? How many pounds is that going to weigh?
70-pound could be about three pounds.
Yeah.
Like about
so keep that in mind, too, when you order, hey, I want a sushi cut.
Right.
You're going to have a big
but
block
you can
of
also,
tuna.
You can also tell us sushi cuts with one-pound packs, and we can take that sushi cut and make it a one-pound.
Oh,
it just,
okay.
It's just a little different going after
customer.
It.
Let us know what you want, and we will make it happen.
Yeah. You have a good one, huh?
I do, Pete. Yeah, there's somebody coming in and just more adding to the show here. Good morning, Mary Lee. And with all the rockfish being caught right now, let's not forget one of my favorites. And it's his beer battered mix.
Oh,
and,
that a boy.
And a favorite brine mix you have there at Fishman's Processing. It comes from Cheer in Cardiff.
Oh, Cheer.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that was you. Yes.
Right?
So we have our brine, and that's a great way if you've got a Traeger at home and go after it. But with this rockfish, like every time we see it, we're either, hey, did you need the beer batter?
Yeah,
we also have
rockfish tacos.
I know. We just did some halibut. Tim cooked at the house. He's my chef at home.
Oh.
But we just did halibut with panko breadcrumbs on it, too, and it just had such a great crust and go after it. So we have panko breadcrumbs. We've got the beer batter. It's really popular.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Can't go wrong
in
with
the store.
A beer battered fish taco.
Yeah,
come on.
With the rockfish.
Wow.
Right, so good.
How'd you cook those? Did you fry them? Bake them?
I fried that one.
Fried it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
what
but not
oil?
Like a vat of oil, you know, just a little bit of olive oil and butter in the pan and just, you know, flipped it over. I didn't use a thermometer, but I did look at it. Unbelievably enough, didn't overcook it that day.
Hey, I want to address, I guess it would be the big gorilla in the room, and that is fuel.
Ah, yes.
The Royal Star.
Yes.
And everybody knows when they go to the gas station now, it's a sad sight.
Yeah.
How's that going to affect somebody's trip, you know, depending on what happens, of course. We don't know what's going to happen in spring, summer, fall. But if it stays the same as it is, or even, God forbid, goes higher than it is, What's going to happen? Is there going to be a fuel surcharge?
Yeah, so I'll break it down. And we, every one of us, we have, because we plan our schedule a year and a half in advance, we have to project, you know, cost based on a, sure, on a set fuel price. So basically, we use $3.75 a gallon for our base fuel price. When fuel goes above that, we don't instantly kick in a fuel surcharge. We'll eat it to a certain point, usually about $4, $4.15, it'll kick in. And how we calculate the fuel surcharge, it's real simple. If we say we're on a 4-day trip and we're going to burn 1,000 gallons, so we 1,000 gallons at $4 a gallon, you know, is X amount. It's $4,000. But if it goes above that, we're going to take that dollar. You know, let's say it goes to $5 a gallon, which it is now. It's higher than that.
It's higher than $5. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's another $1,000 that it's going to be that is, you know, above that $4 a gallon. Yeah. So we just take that $1,000 and we divide it among the number of people on the boat, 24 anglers. There's your fuel surcharge for the trip.
Oh, okay.
We don't surcharge on, you know, the whole amount. We just surcharge on that amount that went above.
Okay.
And
that's very reasonable.
It's reasonable. It's not that scary. It you know, needless to say, it goes up. If you're talking about a 15-day trip, then, you know, right now at the fuel prices, you may be talking an extra $500, $600, $700. But on a 4-day trip, you know, $20 a day, $30 a day, it's not that big of a number. Thank God. You know, let's hope that it goes down instead of up.
Yes.
But we, I mean, there's no way that any of us can eat that kind of a, you know, like
not the case.
Yeah, and we, you know, you guys know, we can't go out for free. I mean, we love you and all that, but,
yeah,
you know,
you
got to make a living,
this is your
too.
Job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got to make a living. So will the passengers know that beforehand if indeed there is a fuel surcharge?
Yes. Yeah, we will notify them
accordingly.
Yeah.
How many gallons of fuel, and of course, you're burning diesel, which is higher cost now than gasoline.
Right. But we don't pay, now mind you, we don't pay road tax.
Right.
We don't, there's a few taxes that we don't pay on the boat. So our
fuel. But that takes away a dollar or a dollar.
70 cents, yeah, right. Like that. I mean if it's $5 a gallon or $6 a gallon, we're usually paying $5.20 or $5, yeah, you know, it just depends.
So how many gallons of fuel are you burning on a 15-day trip?
On a 15-day trip, about 7,000.
7,000 gallons.
It could be between 7 and 8. I mean, we've had trips, depending on where you go, as low as 6,500, as high as 9,500, depending on how much back and forth you do.
Yikes.
But
how,
yeah,
big are those fuel trucks that they deliver the fuel? How big are those trucks?
So those are about, it depends, but like a single is usually about 5,000-6,000 gallons. A double would be, you know, up to maybe 8,500.
So you're burning more than one of those single trucks.
Yeah, in a trip.
Out of 15, yeah.
Yeah, in a long trip. I mean, we basically, our cruising consumption is roughly 25 gallons an hour. That includes a generator. Yeah. So, you know, you calculate that out over 10 days of running.
Yeah.
That's scary. Yeah. That's all I can say. Yeah, I actually do have a text feed. This is a great show today. I love the subject matter of fish prep. Wondering if you have a yellowfin tuna recipe. I have a large batch of beautiful fish from Fisherman's Processing from a long-range trip last fall. Thank you, Steve from Monrovia. So for yellowfin tuna.
Yeah, yellowfin is really good. You can still eat that as sushi or poke. One thing I really like to do is sear tuna and just have that like over a nice fresh salad. We have a really good sesame and spice in the shop, and you just would roll your tuna in that and then just give it a nice sear in a hot pan with olive oil. And then, you know, you can either eat that by itself, but like I love to just put that over a nice salad.
So what do you coat the fish in anything before you roll it in the?
You can. You can rub it in a little bit of oil if you need to.
Yeah.
The fish is already, you know, moist, so it's going to stick to it on its own. So it just would be a preference on if you wanted to add a little extra flavor with an oil.
And what about the portion of fish? Is it like a I mean, for searing, you're not using a big block or?
You can. It's just really up to your preference. What I would recommend, I personally tell everybody to have a really good cast iron skillet in their kitchen, and then you're going to get that already hot before you go in for that sear. And then have the pan get hot, then you add your oil, and then you're going to sear your fish.
It doesn't work on the grill. I've tried that. Not that hot pan. I've tried that panko or the seared the crusted, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to have that.
Yeah, and a nice cast iron is the way to go.
You can get close to it, though, Pete, with mesquite, because mesquite burns at a much higher temperature. Yeah. Yes.
And I'm going to brag about Tim and his cooking again. Okay. We take some of our old yellowfin, and it's not old. I mean, it's delicious. But from the freezer, and then we'll thaw it out, and then he'll just do, he'll cook them in the pan, and then we put that on a bed of pasta, and he'll do red sauce over the top. He does a homemade marinara. It's amazing.
Whoa.
It really goes great with the yellowfin. So that's kind of a fun little spin that everybody else.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I talked to guys in the boat about it. Have you ever had tuna with red sauce?
No, I've never had.
You can't believe how good it is.
It's really? Complimented.
No, I'm not kidding.
It's like a regular marinara sauce.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You can have, bed of pasta.
How much do you cook the tuna?
Just like, just sear it.
Sear.
Yeah, and then you can put that, you have your bed of pasta with your red sauce, which I like to make my own, but however, whatever red sauce. And you can either put the red sauce over the pasta with the tuna steak on top, or throw the tuna steak on top of the pasta and put the sauce over the whole thing. But I'm telling you, man, tuna and that red sauce, it is an insanely delicious combination.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the old peas and carrots. They go together. You wouldn't think
it sounds, no, I, you have me going. It sounds amazing.
You're going to try it now.
I haven't even had a breakfast from hungry.
I started doing it with our kids, When our kids were little tiny, they just devour it. They're just wolfing it down. It's like tuna and, spaghetti and meatballs. No, spaghetti and tuna.
Right. Instead of a piece of pork or...
Just throw fish in there. It's unbelievable how good it is.
Wow, that sounds good. Hey, John Arrench of San Diego has a question. He says, hey, does Fisherman's Processing have a minimum required for an order? Let's say I caught a number of bottom fish, including a nice sheephead, halibut, but no yellowtail or tuna. Would it be okay to bring those to be processed?
You can bring me one fish, I'll take
it.
Yeah.
One rockfish.
We don't have minimum. The only minimum that relates is for us to actually schedule the crew to come meet, like what we were talking about.
Yes.
Like we need five passengers for us to schedule. But we're there every day from 8 to 2, so you could bring one fish by. And we have that happen frequently. People just pull up with one fish.
They want something quality.
We'll take care of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. But the only minimum would be, you said, five people?
If for us to come at night, for a night pickup, because literally everybody has to remember, our crew starts between 4 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. because we've got to get the trucks, we've got to get the totes loaded up. Then we get down here. The boats typically arrive, like Aliar will get in right around 4:45 or 5 in the morning over at Seaforth. So we've got to be prepared for all the anglers when we get there. So we're not really going from 4:45 till 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
Like that. We've
just not going to happen.
It's like we're human. We need it.
Right.
So, but we have really been brainstorming, because there's so many customers that are reaching out to us to see if we can come to them. And we do have a team ready for this year, but we do have a minimum to be able to afford to do that. Just like there's fuel costs that are associated with that. Like there's staffing costs that go with that too.
The number of people.
Yeah. So that's
probably make the point too, that if you do have your fish picked up at night, they're not going to fillet that night. It's going to be the next
morning. Yeah.
But it'll be on ice.
Yeah.
Cooler.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we take pride in how we take care of it. We pick it up. It'll go right into our refrigeration unit. We'll have it on in refrigerated water and go from there. Yeah.
How many square feet of refrigeration and how many square feet of freezer space do you guys have?
Pete, I didn't measure it.
No, you don't have to.
It's big.
It should be cubic feet because we stack.
Right,
the cubic feet is massive.
It's a lot.
Like floor space, the refrigerator is, I would say it's like at least 200 square feet, at least. Just the refrigerator.
Oh,
and the freezer is way bigger.
Easy.
The freezer is 500-600. It's big, probably more.
And then it's the whole height of the building, too. So we'll stack our totes, on top of each other, and we can go three high in there. So
when you're freezing the fish,
yes,
it's important that you're freezing them on a single level, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we rack.
So we have just like bread racks that you see when like Sara Lee delivers the bread to the bread aisles and go through. We use the similar racks, and they have ventilation that go through. So that way the cold air can circulate, and we stack them single level on those baker's racks and take them in the bread racks
evenly.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And our freezer is negative 10 degrees. So our
negative
freezer.
Negative 10 degrees.
Negative 10 degrees. And we have, like, different cold zones because we have people that want to pick it up the next day and they want to have it frozen. And, you know, we used to joke that we're not, like, frozen like the cartoon character. We can't flash freeze it and shoot it and go from there. But we can get it frozen. If you give us a good 8 hours, 8 to 12 hours, like, we'll have that fish frozen solid for you and ready to get to you the next day.
Which is a great tip because if you've got, I don't know, 300 to 400 pounds of fish coming your way.
Yes.
And you know you're not going to utilize 400 pounds. You could at least put half of it utilize your fuel.
It's a great call, Corey. We have a few gentlemen that they'll come in and they have just an enormous catch and they want some to take home fresh and then they want us to freeze the rest. So we do the entire order. They take what they want from fresh and then we actually hold it 14 days, no charge. And we'll freeze it solid for them and they just come back down in a few days and get the frozen portion. Yeah.
But you can't order, I want this portion frozen and this portion fresh. You have to physically do that. Down there, you have to take your fresh
Correct.
And then you freeze the rest.
As Tim was talking about, if you look at our process, we process your entire order. We don't take half of your order and do it so it's fresh and then do the other half another time. There's just the likelihood of error or something in that line. We process your entire order. You decide what you want to take fresh, and then we'll put in the freezer what you don't want.
How about that? I know we've got to go, Pete. I want to give
You can't do that.
No. We're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won the overnight trip. We'll be right back.
Adding a fish finder to my fishing kayak completely changed the way I fish. I'm Logan from Fastlane Kayaks, and I've been fishing from a Hobie kayak for over 4 years now. For about half that time, I was fishing without a fish finder. And trust me, it's called fishing blind for a reason. But don't just take my word for it. Here at Fastlane Kayaks, we've been installing and using fish finders on Hobie kayaks for over 25 years. Over all that time, we've done our fair share of trial and error to find the best mounts and methods for rigging a kayak. So instead of trying to learn 25 years of experience through endless YouTube videos, just drop your kayak off at Fastlane. Every Fastlane install is clean, user-friendly, and built to last in real saltwater conditions. One way we do that is by housing all the fuses and electrical connections inside a small waterproof case. Keeps everything protected, organized, and easy to access. Whether you're looking to add a fish finder, install a motor, or upgrade into a brand new fishing kayak, come by Fastlane Sailing and Kayaking in Mission Bay, or give us a call at 619-222-0766.
All right, welcome back. Let's talk about, obviously, I have a little technical issue with our feed there, but hey,
we're going to have Catherine flip the prize coin. Yeah, go for it, Catherine. We're going to find out who's won this overnight trip. To a caller, and our caller today happens to be Tom in University City. Congratulations with that overnight trip out of Fisherman's Landing.
Way to go, Tom.
Nice. Of course, Royal Star, always the finest in the fleet. And do you have any openings on any spot?
You know, there's a few here and there. I looked the other day, and I actually saw, maybe it's full now, we've got 1 2-day trip on our entire schedule, and it actually had a couple openings. It was full. It was 1 2-day trip in the very beginning of June. I want to say it's the 1st through the 3rd. Captain Duke Estrom will be.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, is this his first solo trip?
No. He's going to run a trip before that.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, he's well qualified.
Yeah.
I'd say the name of the charter on the, but I can't. Yeah. Anyway, they're great guys. And I think we had one spot opened up on an 8-day in July, too, that Barking Spiders trip. And
okay.
Otherwise, it's pretty full up. Going all the way into, and I'm glad Frank mentioned it earlier, that trip in December. We've got 7-day following Christmas. That is prime time. That's another one of those trips that we resurrected it. You know, we paired it back to a 3-day, 4-day. We used to do a 7-day at that time of the year, which was incredibly successful. I don't know why we stopped doing it, but now we bumped it back up to a 7-day. There's a lot of openings on that one. Another Captain
Duke
Estrom special.
And that fish is beautiful.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. And then, of course, Fisherman's Processing, how do we get a hold of you?
Well, you can go online, go to fishermansprocessing.com and shoot us an email if you want to go that way, or just come on down to 4004 Taylor Street, right at the corner of Pacific Highway and Taylor Street.
Yeah, just say hello to Catherine.
Yeah. And your hours generally are 7 to 2?
Oh, 8 to 2. Open 8 to 2 for the public every day. You'll see Catherine. You'll see Rachel. You'll see Jordan.
And all the
Viviana,
great
stuff. Viviana.
And everything. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you, guys. Great job. Great show. And thank you all for out there. Thank you, Corey, for being here today. Tomorrow, Captain John McCarty and Chris Roop will be here from McCarty Yachts. Those guys are super savvy, super knowledgeable about fishing all over the place, and they've been running yachts and boats and fishing boats for years, and really have a lot of good insight there. So that's tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. We'll see you right back here on the Facebook and YouTube Live, 97.3 The Fan, and, of course, the Let's Talk Hookup app. We'll see you then.